Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. My name is Corby LaCroix, and the song you're hearing right now is called Great and Mighty One, available on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your music. But for now, recording from the Unscripted Studio, here's your host and my friend, Aaron Conrad.
Great Redeemer, God of grace, come receive.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios in Hilliard, Ohio. Whew, this is going to be fun. I am so excited. Returning guest today, one of the most fascinating people that I interviewed way back in the day. Rod, can you introduce yourself and we'll go from there?
Sure. My name's Rodney Laughlin. I put together a project that was launched in the publishing world in November of 2022 called The Readable Bible. And here we are a year later. Actually, the first printing is sold out. And the second printing won't be available until March. Well, that's exciting. But I'm here today because we have a new book to talk about, The Anointed One, The Complete Life Story of Jesus Christ, which has all of the material, the four Gospels, other New Testament scripture and Old Testament scripture. And it's written for people that want to know everything about Jesus and just read it in one book.
Love it. And I, early in my years as a podcaster, I would tell everybody, you got to come back on. And I would tell people that I enjoyed interviewing. I certainly enjoyed our interview. And that was most people, but not all of them have returned, but you're returning. And I'm genuinely excited because your story. And so I'll link that for people to listen to in the other one, not to promote my own podcast, but to promote you and hear
hey
your
man,
story.
You got
to
promote your podcast. It's better for me if you do.
All right. So I'll do that. I'll promote the podcast. But at the same time, you were fascinating to interview the very first time. I remember that. And so you reached out to me and said, hey, you've got this new project. I'm all in. I was all in the first time. You have a fascinating story. You and I talked earlier today.
Do you have a readable Bible?
I don't.
Give me your physical address.
All right, we'll do that offline.
Okay.
Just so I don't give my physical address out to
people. Okay. Oh, we're still recording. Okay.
We're still recording. So I don't want people to know my physical address. Love y'all. Anybody listening, appreciate you as a listener. Just don't want to give you my home address. So, but we will do that offline. But no, I did have an opportunity to preview it because you sent me some links and I did have it. It was fascinating. And when you reached out to me this week and said, hey, I've got this new project. Awesome. And then you and I talked earlier today. And so I want to start here because you and I talked earlier today about just life and dreams, goals, you know, leaving things behind,
hey,
putting
man,
all
brother.
Our chips in the middle of the table, you know, you and I talked about that earlier today. And I just appreciate you because as you know, we've been trying to get this interview today and dealing with some, you know,
so
car
I
issues
tell you
and
what
things.
Happened
and
here.
Anyway. Go ahead.
So when I translated the four Gospels for the readable Bible, I found myself thinking what I think most Bible-reading Christians think at one time or another, ask themselves, can you put all this together and will it make one story? And I wasn't satisfied to just pick up a book somebody else wrote saying, yes, it is, that it all harmonizes. I felt that to be intellectually honest, I had to find out for myself. So I read through the Gospel of Luke, which most people think is chronological. Luke says he set everything out in an orderly fashion, may or may not mean chronological, but it seems to be the most chronological of the four Gospels. Yeah. So I identified every moment in Jesus's life. I took a spreadsheet, and on line number one, I put the first event, line number two, the second, just reading through Luke's gospel. And let's go to Jesus's baptism. And let's say that that's chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I don't know what it is. We'll just take that. And then when I identified every event in Luke's gospel, I started reading through Matthew. And when I'd get to an event that was in Luke's gospel, I would put next to where I'd written the scripture reference for Luke, I'd put the scripture reference for Mark, for Matthew, or for Mark, or for John. So I ended up finding there were four, and if I came to a new event in Matthew that wasn't in Luke, then I would make room in the spreadsheet for that event where it would fit chronologically. And what I discovered was we have 438 moments or events in Jesus's life in the four Gospels. Wow. And I took each moment, let's go back to his baptism and say there was one sentence in Luke and one in Matthew and two in Mark. So I would take each one of those, every noun, adjective, verb, and adverb in each one of those sentences, and I would create two sentences that express the whole thought. So I did that with all 438 events. About 550,000 words became 375,000 words because he came up out of the water. Let's say that appeared in each gospel. That appears three times or four times. It only appears once in my story. So I ended up with a manuscript with every event in Jesus' life and every word, every noun, adjective, verb, and adverb from the four Gospels, so we could just read through Jesus' life in one story. And then I got to thinking, well, there's other scriptures in the New Testament about Jesus. Corinthians tells us about the Lord's Supper. We repeat Corinthian scripture when we do right. The Lord's Supper. And Paul wrote that Jesus thought it not a thing to be grasped to be like God, but emptied himself. So I put that scripture where Jesus emptied himself in the text right where he's born. So when you're reading the text, you read about his birth, and then you realize that it was something he did voluntarily, being found in the form of a human. And I brought in Isaiah scriptures where they fit, were fulfilled, and Micah and whatever other scriptures in the Old Testament. So we have a book called The Anointed One, The Complete Life Story of Jesus Christ. Now, that was kind of a miracle how that happened. A friend of mine, Gary Tereshita, said he'd like to look at it one day. I told him what I was doing, and he sent it to his partner, Ollie North, at Fidelis Publishing. And Colonel North said, we ought to publish this. So lo and behold, The Anointed One was published in November.
Mm. That's incredible. Everything you just told me, but there's something you told me earlier today that I thought was even more incredible. There's all these things about this man named Jesus. And you said earlier today, how little in the Bible actually talks about his life. And I'm not doing a good job explaining it.
John said at the end of his gospel, if everything were written down about what Jesus said, it would fill all the books in the world. That seems right. nonsensical to us, but it's very sensical when you realize that Cambridge University, in the year before the printing press was invented, only had 113 books in its library.
Mm-hmm.
Is that amazing?
Printing
press was invented, and they had thousands of books within a couple of years. But mm-hmm. books were very rare until the printing press was invented. So Jesus has, I believe, a four-year ministry. Most people say three, some say four. When you look at it here in the Anointed One, I think you'll see why I say 4 years. But if you count each day, we have some description of what Jesus did. We discover that we only know about 93 days in his life. 93 days out of over 1,000 days of ministry. So we right. know well less than 10% of his something that he did each day. And on the days we know about, typically we know about 1 hour or 2 hours events. We might know a little more than that, but typically we only know 1 or 2 hours. And he was certainly up and about for 10 or 12 hours a day or more, you know, probably 18 hours a day. So we know less than 1% of Jesus's life.
I have to imagine a lot of that was traveling. Because
yes, right. But he was talking Uber. When he traveled, man. They stop right. in a village. You know, right. every parable he told 3, 4, 5 times in different villages with different audiences. Pretty amazing. Wow. And you see in the Anointed One, we also have a map for each year of Jesus' life showing you where he went and when. The map's on the left-hand panel. On the right-hand panel, there's a table showing each trip he took. And that's pretty fascinating to look at.
Incredible. So that we know his timeline now that you've shared mm-hmm. that. And thank you, because you did a much better job telling it than I did. So, but how much of your time have you taken to do this? This is a huge task. Like, this isn't just a book. You didn't just sit down at a typewriter, old school, or a computer, right? This is a ton of research. The spreadsheet alone Has to be fascinating. How much time did
you
take?
When I did the readable Bible, I logged in every morning and I logged every minute. I know what scripture I worked on and what day, because I was always afraid that someday somebody that owned the translation would say, hey, you just read our translation, took our translation, right. And we worked from the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic manuscripts. And so we have a record of every iteration of every book. And when I started out, I was curious, am I going to take a year on this? Is it going to be 3 years? What's it going to be? So I logged in and out every day and recorded exactly what I did. So after 6 months, I started getting scared. I started saying, this is a 10-year project. It actually took 14 to do the full readable Bible. Wow. But because of that discipline, when I finished the Gospels and started working on to see, can I integrate this and have one story? I recorded every hour as that integration. And the other day I added it up and I discovered I spent 400 hours just developing the manuscript.
Wow.
Now, the problem we have in the world today is young people especially don't really know anything about Jesus. I had an event today. The horn honk, guy coming up the street. It's the UPS driver. I'm out blowing leaves in my yard. His name's Al. Hey, Al, how you doing? Okay, Rod, he's got this great big box for me. I say, oh my goodness, books. The publisher sent me 20 copies of The Anointed One. And I said, hey, Al, do you know anything about Jesus? He says, not really. I said, well, I've got a book here that tells you about his whole life. Would you like to read it? And he looks at me, and this is the problem we have. He looks at me and he says, is it a Bible? Because he wasn't about to read the Bible.
It's and confusing.
We all have friends like that. We have relatives. We have business associates. We have neighbors. Right. They're not about to read the Bible, especially if they're young. Well, my answer to Al was, no, it's not a Bible. It's a biography, like Carl Sandburg's biography of Lincoln, like any biography. He says, oh. He takes a knife out, opens the box with me. I write my name in it. I write my phone number. And I say, Al, when you finish reading this, if you have any questions, give me a call.
So it's
The Anointed One is a way to get young people to read about the life of Jesus without making them read the Bible. Now, it's just an amazing thing.
It is. And you told me a story earlier today about a member of your family, right? Because We're coming to Christmas. That's why we're rushing this today. We came on quickly. We're going to put this out quickly because we all have an opportunity today to do something in Christmas. And, you know, you may be looking for that one gift for that one family member that, as you just said, your driver. So can
somebody
you share the story
believe.
That you did? Yeah. Can you share the story you did with me today?
I have a relative. Actually, I have a sister who she doesn't believe in God. She obviously doesn't believe in Christ. When I sent her the readable Bible, when I finished it, she said, that's a great work, Rod, but of course, I'm not going to read it. So when I finished this about the Gospels, the Lord gave me this idea. How about embellishing the text so it reads like a secular biography and a lost person we'll read it. So we embellish the text. For instance, the Sermon on the Mount, after we have all the Beatitudes, Jesus starts talking about how to live life. I'm going to grab a page here. Here we go. Jesus continued, while you're here on earth, these attributes will help you reflect God to the people. Now that's added embellished text. That's not the Bible.
Sure.
So in the Anointed One, we've embellished the text to capture the imagination and the attention of lost people who will not read a 4 or 5 page sermon. They're not going to read the Sermon on the Mount. They're going to realize, oh, that's just a Bible. So we embellish the text. Then Jesus said, let's see, while you are here on earth, these attributes will help you reflect to the people of God. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it become salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by people. Then we add to the text. Matthew asked, so now we're to be preservative and flavor enhancer? The others laughed. Jesus smiled. Yes, and that's not all. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. They put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Let your light shine, therefore, before everyone, so they may see your... See, we all know the story. Well, then he goes to the law, but we give a transition. I've never seen myself as light, Andrew said, but I do my best to follow the law of Moses. How does all you are saying relate to the law? Jesus responded, I didn't come here to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. So the anointed one reads as an interesting biography of Jesus. And like my UPS driver today, he's going to read the book, read the whole life of Jesus. He won't know that 95% of what he read is scripture. And God tells us his word does not return void, empty, without result.
I love it. You know, one of the most popular things, in the past few years is The Chosen.
Mm-hmm.
No different here. Like,
correct me if
I'm wrong. Yeah, The Chosen is actually putting it out so people can see it, consume it in a visual way.
And they're embellishing the text. They're adding to what's likely to have happened. People are talking around Jesus.
Right. There's a story in there, and Angel Studios, friends of mine, friend of show, but there's one of the most powerful stories is one where he calls him Little James. I say that all the time, like Little James, but he's talking to him because he's handicapped and he's talking to Jesus, like, why haven't you healed me? And that's one of the most powerful stories. And they do, I believe, unless, correct me if I'm wrong, they do the same thing. They're filling in the gaps for the rest of us, because when we read scripture, yes, there's quotable verses, right? And we put those on in our bathroom walls and things like that.
And there's real life in the scripture. It's like when I read this, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. But when we read the scripture, we tend to read, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. So I tell people, when you read your Bible, stand up and read it out loud and speak the way you think the speaker was speaking to his audience. And it just lights it up and it becomes a whole new story.
Yeah. Gosh, I love what you've done. I haven't even read it, but I love what you've done. I love where your heart is. What I want people to hear is you're not coming off half-cocked here. You're not just throwing this out there for a couple of bucks. You are literally pouring hours of your life into the research, this spreadsheet that you created. That's incredible. It's incredible what you've created.
So the anointed one's wonderful for Christians because you see things about Jesus you never saw. But what we're really hoping is that Christians will give it to their lost relatives, associates at work, their neighbors, could be a waitress in a restaurant. Last week, I was having lunch at a restaurant with a friend of mine, Dr. Chick Shaver, and I just said to the waitress at one point, we got to talking, I said, do you go to church anywhere near here? And she said, well, I was raised Catholic, and I live in a place about 10 miles from us. And I said, oh, that's great. She didn't say if she's going to church or not. I'm sure she wasn't, actually.
Yeah.
But so I said to her, if you died today, do you think you'd go to heaven? And she says, well, I hope so. Well, that tells us that she believes in God. She believes in heaven. She believes in something else, perhaps hell, life without God. So I said, hey, if I could show you how, you can be sure you go to heaven. Would you do what you had to do? And she said, sure. So we set up an appointment because she was working. And my wife and I went over there yesterday and met with her. We took the Billy Graham Peace with God track and led her to faith in Christ. You never know who's going to get saved or how. You give this book to somebody, you tell them, this is a story about Jesus. I know you're not going to read a Bible, but you ought to know all about Jesus so you can make a fully informed decision and honestly say to people, I don't believe in Jesus. I've read all about him. And if they've read this book, they can make that statement truthfully. But some of those people will suddenly discover, oh, I didn't really know about Jesus. And some of them, when they get to the back, they're going to read a page that says at the top, invitation to respond. Jesus said, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. Believing means to believe not only that he exists, which a lot of people who don't accept Christ believe he existed, but they have all kinds of crazy thoughts about him. Believing means to believe not only that he exists, but also that what he says is true. Believing leads to accepting him as Lord and Savior and doing what he says. So it could be your neighbor, it could be your relative, it could be your business associate. You give them the anointed one, they read about Jesus, 200 and 50 pages, 240 pages of his life, and they find themselves thinking, gee, I never knew that. I wonder if this is true, or I think maybe I've been wrong. And then this challenges them. Believing leads to accepting him as Lord and Savior, so people will think about that and doing what he says. The alternative is to not believe, to experience the alternative to eternal life, to die in your sin and experience death in the worst way. So it makes people think. So we're hoping Christians will give this. You can go to Amazon.com right now, have it in a couple of days, give it to your lost friends. It's $28. The other hope we have, and we'll talk about this together on Unscripted in April, we're hoping that Christians will stop giving Dr. Seuss's book, a secular book, Oh, the Places You Will Go, promoting the wonderful you in your life, and will give the Anointed One to young people as their graduation gift. We need people to learn who Jesus is. It's just incredible when you see the surveys, how kids don't know where countries are, they don't know who leaders are, they know names, and they know nothing about them.
You're a friend of show. And you are coming back. I think we talked earlier today, January. So you will be back again about another project you're working on. For now, today, so anybody listening, what are your links? Let's get that out because we're going to rush this out. I'm going to get this out tonight. I promise you, if I got to stay up all night doing it, I'm going to get this out tonight. What are your links for this gift that we can give someone? It truly is a gift because honestly, it's Christmas and we receive the ultimate gift at Christmas time.
And you're packaging salvation for your friends.
100%.
You know, the angels in heaven rejoice every time somebody repents of their sin. I believe that's Matthew 15, 11. And it's just incredible to think the angels rejoice. And we can call angels look at what's going on down here on earth. And we package salvation in a story that's attractive and interesting, and then we invite people to accept Jesus. So, you know, take your funds. It costs $28 a copy. You can get 30% off at theanointedonebook.com. If you go to www.theanointedonebook.com, you can get 30% off. Now, if you do regular shipping, you probably won't get it for Christmas, but I think they have expedited shipping. If you want to, if you have an Amazon Prime membership, go to Amazon and order it and get it in 2 days. But we invite you to do that, to try and get your lost friends and relatives and neighbors and business associates before Christ, get their to put their lives before Christ and come to Him. You put Christ before them with this book. All profits go to the Gospel Challenge Foundation. If you go to GospelGivingSunday.com, you'll see the main work of the Gospel Challenge Foundation. Again, getting Gospels out to people, that's a story we'll do a show on in January.
Right.
But go to TheAnointedOneBook.com and get a 30% discount, or go to Amazon and buy The Anointed One for your friends and neighbors. Nobody in the Gospel Challenge Foundation gets a salary. We're all volunteer workers. There's no profit going into anybody's pocket here. The profit is God having another child come to Him, and you can be an instrument to make that happen.
I was just talking to a friend of mine this week. The world is crazy. I think a lot of people are really scared right now. Mm-hmm. And this is not a political rant. This is not anything else. I just need to be really clear with anybody listening. The world is crazy. And as someone, as a believer, I do believe that Jesus has His hand on the doorknob. And God is a minute away from saying, go get my kids. Mm-hmm.
I go to funerals all the time.
Amen.
And I'm 80, but I'm going to funerals of people that are 50. We just had one the other day of a young girl, 30. You don't know when your last day is. Right. And what's worse is you don't know when your neighbor's last day is. And if you've never done anything to get the gospel in front of the other person, Jesus, you know, somebody asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? And He basically said, it's the person in need that you come across. That's your neighbor. That's your relative. You know, get the book in their hands.
Absolutely. This is the best gift you can give. Seriously, this is the best gift you can give, because if it means they spend eternity with our Savior, then you know, it's not our job to save anyone. It's our job to introduce them to the one that can.
And this is an opportunity. Gift. It has a beautiful cover on it.
Awesome.
I mean, it's a hardback book. It looks beautiful. It is a standard book like any, it's the same as any other book. Our publisher publishes dozens of books by leading politicians, most conservative Republican politicians. And those books cost $30, $40, $50. This book costs $28, and it has a beautiful cover with a nice background on it. People will appreciate it as a gift.
I'll say this really quick. A few years ago, many years ago, probably 20 years ago, a friend of mine gave me the book, He Chose the Nails by Max Lucado. Mm-hmm. I didn't read it. I put it on a shelf. And at some point in my life, I got bored. I think I was on a flight. I grabbed it, took it with me. It was one of the most incredible books I've ever read. So I want to share that, because listen, if you give it this, you know, Christmas morning, don't expect, or if they don't read it that morning, it doesn't mean it didn't land where at some point they will use it. So please, this is a great opportunity. You've done so much work, my friend. You've done so much work. Can you give me the links one more time, just so people have them?
Well, before I do, let me say this. Right on the front of the book, you know, open the cover up. And if your friend is Aaron, let's say Aaron, put to Aaron, this book has meant a lot to me. I hope it'll mean a lot to you. If you have any questions, please call me. And if you give it to a stranger, put your name and your phone number under it, but endorse the book over to your friend. That personalizes it, makes it special. Again, if you have Amazon Prime and you want to get it quickly and know you're going to get it before Christmas, use Amazon to get it. You can go to theanointedonebook.com and get it at a 30% discount. There's a code there, and I'll check. I need to find out. I think there's expedited shipping, but it will cost you more.
Okay. Man, you are amazing. Thank you for pursuing me for this opportunity and this interview. And I'm going to pursue you as soon as the new year passes and we flip that calendar.
I'll look forward to it.
Well, because I already know what you got next. And so people need to do this now and then come back for what's next, because I really believe in what you're doing next. And I'm just a fan. Thank you. Thank you. Because you walked away from a lot. And I know that's why I started to say at the very beginning, you walked away and you have sacrificed, you put your chips in the middle of the table because you believe so much in our eternity. And man, I just appreciate you, my friend. I really
appreciate
do.
You too, Aaron.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
And I appreciate
to you.
Your audience,
you.
Everybody. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Love you. I will talk to you again first of the year.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Sure.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Unscripted Podcast with your host, Aaron Conrad, from his studio in Old Hilliard. Make sure to like, share, follow, and review on your favorite podcast platforms. Also, make sure to check out my song, Great and Mighty One, on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find your music. We'll see you next time on Unscripted with Aaron Conrad.